Good morning, everyone. To you fathers out there, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Oh, we're good. We're live. Everything's ready to go. The title of my sermon is Who is God? As I was talking to the children. That is such a short little question. Who is God? But it is enormous. Can you imagine contemplating who is God? Each one of us have to answer that question. And I dare say it would take a whole lifetime of pondering and looking and asking questions. Who is God? Who is this God who has created so much and created us and wants to have a relationship with us? Every human being needs to ponder that question. Who is God? Our first scripture this morning, which I read to the kids in the very beginning of our Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is extraordinary as you turn to that. Read those words. God created everything. He put everything into place. Think of all the minute processes that go on in this planet. Just this planet alone. Okay? Contemplate the lowly honeybee. What it does. How it operates. Look even deeper. Let's look at the possibility of not having the water cycle. I mean, we take water for granted, don't we? We turn on the faucet, water comes out. We wash our clothes. We put water in squirt guns and let our kids run around and squirt each other, okay? But think of what God did to create water and allow it to work the way it does on our planet. You know, scientists say that this planet Earth is in the Goldilocks zone. Remember the story of Goldilocks? She got after the porridge, okay? Some porridge was too hot, some porridge was too cold, and some porridge was just right. That's where our Earth is. It's in the Goldilocks zone in relationship to our sun, which is a star. And God put this planet right where it needed to be so that we have water in the three different states. We have water, liquid, which we drink and we need. We have water vapor, okay, which gives us the rain. And we have water ice, okay, to put in our glasses and to put lemonade on, right? So we have cold lemonade to drink. But think about that process. God created, He put that earth right there where it needed to be so that we could have physical life, okay? Think of all the wondrous things that He has created. He created light for photosynthesis for our plants and our trees so that we could have food. God the Creator. That's one way of trying to know who God is. He is a Creator. He creates things. And then a little further on in Genesis, in the 26th verse, same chapter, we're still in Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds and over the sky and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." And I'm going to stop right there. Because it's a very important thing that God also created. He created the social order. He created the first social order. Married Adam and Eve together and said, procreate. Be a family. Which is the building blocks of all civilization. Think about that. He created a social order that works. Since the beginning of time now, we've marred it with sin. Okay? We mess it all up. We screw things up, and that goes in that creation. But God created that building block of society. Without family, society falls apart. It is the very first bedrock of a relationship between a man and a woman. And then they father and they mother children and raise them up in a family. Even in our broken world, we know that that is right, that God created that. And what does our culture want to do? They want to destroy that. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in God, the Creator. They say, well, God doesn't exist. So let's change stuff. Them crazy Christians, they have it all wrong. Family is not one man, one woman, and children. Family is everything that we want it to be. And look at the problems it caused. We created those problems, all right? But I want you to think about that. God is the Creator. He's given us everything we need to have a happy life here. If only we would follow His preordained order. If we only would look at Him. And God created us in His likeness. Because we create things. Think of all the stuff you create. All right? There's people who create music. You know, the atheists and the scientists out there, some of them, I'm not going to pick on everybody, but to say there is no God. And everything happened from this Big Bang. And all this stuff just came together. And all of a sudden we had one cell, and then it created all this. And that cell created another cell. And then the cells came together, and they became a virus. And then the virus became a fish. And I'm not really a good scientist as far as that is evolution, but all this stuff came out, and the fish started walking on the land, and it grew legs, and it became a man. I mean, if you actually think about what they're trying to get you to swallow, okay, is craziness. God created. And when you go there, when you go back to God, okay, everything fits. Just like all the stuff on this planet fits together so that we could have plants and animals and water, and ice cubes. All that stuff God created. And then He gave us the capacity to create. Okay? I've never seen a beaver paint a picture as good as Picasso. Okay? I've never seen a buffalo write a beautiful Beethoven-type sonata. But human beings do that. So God, as the Creator, gave us the ability to create. So when we ask the question, who is God? We look at His creation. If you turn to Romans, okay? We're going to turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans, way there in the beginning, chapter 1, verse 20. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman church, spells it out for us about this creation, okay? And as we all turn there, and the people out on the internet, they're looking maybe, looking to get there. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, Paul says to the Roman people, he says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Paul's telling us, when we look out at the world, what has been made, we see the attributes of God. We see His wisdom, His majesty, His thought process. To make water? Oh my goodness. Now I'm an amateur beekeeper, okay? And I find it amazing what bees do. God programmed them, created them to procreate and make honey. Who here has had honey? Isn't it delicious? Honey is wonderful. You put it in your tea, You can bake with it. Do you realize that they found honey in Tutankhamun's grave from 3,000 years ago? They were in jars. Now, the honey crystallized, but when they heated it up, it went right back to liquid honey, and you could eat it. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, bake a cake, put it in a container, come back 3,000 years from now. I bet you that cake isn't going to be good. But isn't it amazing? Honey could last 3,000 years. And you sit and you watch the way a bee would operate and how they take care of themselves and take care of their queen and the things they do. It is amazing. God created that for us. And when I look at it, I give him glory and honor and say, oh my goodness, Lord, look what you have created for me to play with. To play with. I will say you need to have your bee suit on and you need a veil, because one little mistake, you're going to make them mad and they're going to want to talk to you with their stingers. They're going to protect their hive. But it's amazing. He programmed them bees to do exactly what they do. God, the creator. Every human being on this planet should bow down and give him glory for what he has created and given to us. He gave us. We read that we're to take care of this world. We should be the greatest environmentalists, because we know who created this and gave it to us to take care of. Can you imagine that? God the Creator. How he loves us. Who is God? Oh my goodness. As I read through this wonderful book, this library of what God has done, and I think that he loved me so much that he provided for me. And that's the next one we're going to. God the Provider. And we're in Exodus. Exodus chapter 16. And this is after Moses had led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, okay? Moses got all the people together because God told him to go there, okay? I want you to get my people out of this nation. You take them to the promised land. And Moses was obedient. So he gets all the people out, all right? Millions of them. Millions of them. All out there in the desert. And Moses is leading them. You know, you think about it, Moses had a church of millions of people. To be a pastor and to lead a church congregation with all the joys and the heartache that come in that. And he gets the people out there in the desert, and they've just seen the parting of the Red Sea. God's power moves the sea open. They escape. The Egyptian army comes running into that sea, and what does God do? Closes right up on top of them. He saves those people, provides for them. Who is God? He is a provider. And the people start rumbling and grumbling. We got nothing to eat. We're out in the desert. We need water. We need bread. We need something to eat. Moses, did you take us out of Egypt, away from all their bread ovens and flesh pots and stuff to kill us out in the desert? What does Moses do? Moses goes to God and says, God, they're complaining again. They're yelling at me. They're stomping their feet at me. How often we do that to our pastors? I'm not happy about this. So they're whining and moaning, and what does God do? In the 12th verse of the 16th chapter of Exodus, we read, we find, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it came about at evening that the quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is bread which the Lord has given you to eat." God the provider. That's another answer to that question. Who is God? Who is this being that cares about us so much? I want you to think in your lives, okay? God the provider. What has He provided for you? Now, I don't want you to answer me because we all have a little piece of that. We all have a little story where we can see where God has provided for us. Now, I want you to think a little past that, okay? What things have occurred in your life that you don't know God has provided for you? You'll know in eternity if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're going to end up in heaven, in that eternal state with God. And He's going to explain to you each little individual place where He has provided for you. You're going to have a one-on-one with God. Can you imagine that? Oh my goodness, that's really wonderful. When you sit down and you have a one-on-one with someone and you start talking back and forth, you know, and you're giving information to that person around you, maybe it's your husband or your wife, or your friend, or a co-worker, there's an interchange of information. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to sit at the feet of God? And He says, "Pastor Dave, I want to show you what I provided for you throughout your life. The situations, the blessings, the little love gifts that I sent you, that maybe you didn't realize." And it's going to be so cool to see that. God the provider. I ask you, what has God provided for you? Where has He met your needs? How wonderful that is, God the provider. He provides for His people. And when the time was right, He provided His Son, God the Son, who came to earth and took upon Himself a fleshly body, laid His glory down, and said, "I'm going to come to this planet, and I'm going to show them what God has provided." And through His entire life, what did He do? He kept showing them. This is God. This is what He has provided. Do you remember the story when Jesus was talking to His disciples? Where? How did He explain that? He said, "God clothed the lilies of the field with such beauty that even Solomon wasn't arrayed as one of them." Okay? You think about what you're wearing. Sometimes we take a lot of thought into what we're going to wear. I'm not going to pick on the ladies, but I'm going to say, ladies, you're a lot more discerning about what you're wearing than men do. You know what I mean? I'm happy with a dirty shirt sometimes, and I do get in trouble for it. You know, let's go out to eat. Dave, your shirt's dirty. I don't really care. I should, though, right? I should. You should have a clean shirt on to go out to eat. Why? What does it matter? I mean, as long as it ain't covered in grease, but a little grease spot, little maybe a mustard spot from lunchtime, that happens, you know what I mean? Things, my ear thing keeps moving here, but a little mustard stain, I don't see any problem with that. It happens. Men are a little sloppier than women. Women are a lot cleaner than men. Men like to get out in the dirt, you know it? But But he sent his son, and his son started explaining these things to us about who God is. He was the physical representation of the knowledge of God in physical form, and he kept telling everybody and trying to get them to understand who God is. Answering that question, who is God? And he said about the food, we worry about what we're going to eat, and yet the Lord God, our Father, he feeds the birds of the air. He feeds them. I want you to think about that. What do birds normally eat? They eat bugs. Some birds eat a little bit of grain, but you think of the robin. The robin likes worms and stuff. Can you imagine the amount of insects that are out there that God created in a square, we'll say 20 feet by 20 feet square, how many insects are in there? Okay? And he put them there so that the birds had something to eat. He feeds them. I should say this concerning myself and everybody here. Oh, ye of little faith. How little is our faith when we think about who is God? Our provider. Let us move on to God the Father. And I love this one so much. God the Father. And we're in Malachi, where some people pronounce it Malachi. No, it's Malachi. Malachi. We're in chapter 2, Malachi. And this is, this is really close to the New Testament, okay? So close, in fact, it's right there. Chapter 2, verse 10. I think this is a way of God preparing for the New Testament, for that revelation that came in the New Testament, that God is our Father. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously each against his brother? That's profane the covenant of our fathers. God is our Father. Jesus told us that. He was the Son of God. He knew God as his Father. And he came to tell us that God is our Father. Can you imagine that? The type of relationship dynamics that has now been brought into place. Before, God was God. He's out there. God is out there somewhere. The Jews knew him as God, Jehovah, God. He's there. Don't get too close, because it's God.
In heaven.
Yes, God in heaven. Can't get too close, it's God. Okay? And Jesus comes to it and he says to us, don't you understand that God is your Father? Now, because of our sin, some of our fathers have abused us. Okay, so you might not have had a great relationship with your earthly father, but your heavenly Father, he wants to have that relationship with you. And that's what Jesus came to tell us about. That relationship, it changed everything. The religious leaders at the time were like, aghast. God the Father? We can have a relationship with God the Father? Oh. Took away some of their power, you know what I mean? Because if God is your Father, you have access to him. They didn't want that. They had him behind this big curtain in the temple that only one of them went in once a year. They tied bells to the bottom of his skirt that he wore, his robe. Tied a rope to his foot. Figuring that if anything happened to him, say he did something wrong in front of God and God struck him dead, they could pull him out. Okay? They did that. But Jesus said, God is our Father. That relationship crossed light years. Most of the time, you want to think of a father as a loving father, who God is, that you can go to and you can talk to him. Can you imagine that? When you're in prayer and stuff, and I want you to imagine this. God sitting on his throne, okay? And he goes, "Oh, my lovely child, come to me, come to me. Let's have a talk." Because that's what prayer is. Come to me so that we could talk, his arms open. God the Father, that relationship. Oh, if we actually truly thought about it, you never want to leave your prayer closet because you're in the presence of God, the Father. And he wants to hear from you. And he wants you to tell him everything that you want to tell him. God, our Father. Our next scripture is Matthew in the 6th chapter in the 4th verse. Too far. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 4th verse. Jesus is talking here to his disciples. He's telling them different concepts about what's going on. He's talking about who God is. Starting in that sixth chapter, 4th verse. So that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He's talking about a relationship, a personal relationship. A relationship that is profound and loving and wanting to have that personal relationship. You know, we have relationships all the time. We have a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. That's one aspect which God created. Okay. We have relationships between parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren. Between co-workers, between friends, okay? And they know somewhat of you. They know somewhat of you, okay? Because you only give so much information out. I want you to think of that. You kind of wear a mask, you know what I mean? You have the special mask you put on, all right, when you deal with other people. And you only give them so much. A husband and wife is the most intimate relationship. Okay? But a relationship between your friends, your co-workers, maybe your boss. You wear somewhat of a mask. There's no mask with God. All the masks come off. He sees you for exactly who you are. All the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. He looks down into your soul and looks at you. Mitch, for who you really are. A little frightening, you know it. Think about it. God knows all your intimate secrets. All of them. All your thoughts. All your desires. All your sins. Everything about you. And he still wants to be your Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. He wants to be your Father. He wants that personal relationship. He wants to hear everything that you have to tell him. He already knows it. But when you speak it to him and you pray, it doesn't change God, but it changes you. It changes you. It helps you to grow in that relationship with him. Our Father in heaven. How wonderful that is. I have one more scripture to look at. and I lost it. It's in here. Our Father in heaven. Ephesians. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Ephesians. Ephesians. Paul here writing a letter to the Ephesians. Corinthians. Getting there. Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 4. I think that's what I said. Chapter 6. Oh, chapter 4, verse 6. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your help. Chapter 4, verse 6. Let us back up just a little bit. And it's talking about, Paul's talking about our relationship as a congregation, okay? And Paul says in chapter 4, or in chapter 4, verse 6, but I'm going to go back to verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. If you get nothing out of the sermon today, and I'm talking not only to this congregation here, but I'm talking out into the internet, into the world. I want you to realize that who God is absolutely pivotally important, not only for us individually, but it's also important for a culture and a nation and a world. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is creator, sustainer. And he takes on that role of parental love for us. He is our Father in heaven. I want you to remember that each time you pray. And we pray it every week. We say, Our Father who art in heaven. In your prayer closet at home, when you're driving and you're praying, I want you to remember him as Father who loves us, because spiritually he has made us his children. And most fathers take care of their family. So, gentlemen who are fathers here, you are to act as God acts in your life. Love your family. Love your children. Be the father that God has called you to be in whatever capacity he has placed you. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father in heaven, how wonderful you are, that you have given us a relationship with you that we can say, Abba, Father. That we can come to you at any time, day or night, in any situation, and you listen to us, and you hear us, and you love us. So in all things we give you glory and honor, and we thank you for what you have done.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.